Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. The book of Joshua, chapter 10. I'm going to just go through this chapter. There's 40-something verses in this chapter, so we'll just tackle this chapter. Next week, we'll do chapters 11 and 12. Next week, they're a little shorter. We'll do both of them. I'll let you guys get to the chapter 10, then we'll open in prayer. Book of Joshua. All right, let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather together this afternoon, Lord, to go through this chapter, chapter 10 in the book of Joshua, your word, I ask you, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your word and that you'd help us understand your word. You'd minister to us, Lord. I ask you that you'd speak directly into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, chapter 10. Five Amorite kings are in this chapter. These Amorite kings allied together to attack the Gibeonites. Remember the Gibeonites from last Thursday in chapter 9 that came and lied to Israel to make a peace treaty? So now the Amorite kings, they heard about this. So now they want to go down, they want to gather up these five kings with their armies and go take out Gibeon, the Gibeonites, for what they did, for making a peace treaty with Israel. And Israel to the rescue. So let's go ahead. We'll I'm going to read down through to verse 15, and we'll stop there. Chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass when Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and its kings. So he had done to Ai and its kings, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty." Verse 3, "Therefore Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, Param, king of Jarmath, Zephiah, king of Lachish, and Debir, king of Eglon, saying, 'Come up to me and help me, that we may attack Gibeon. For it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel.' Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmath, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up, they and all their armies, and camped before Gibeon and made war against it." Verse 6, "And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, 'Do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly, save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us.' So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of the war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you.'" Verse 9, "Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the roads that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah to Makkedah. And it happened as they fled before Israel that they were on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord casted down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died." Wow, can you imagine? Hailstorm. "There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword." So God wiped out most of them. Verse 12, "Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ahalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? Now the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. Verse 14, And there has been no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, Joshua, for the Lord fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp of Gilgal. So let's stop there for a minute. So when Adoni-Zedek, this king of Israel, heard about the destruction of Ai and the peace treaty between Israel and Gibeonites, he was afraid of the Gibeonites, the warriors in Israel, so they teamed up together. So the king of Jerusalem decided to attack the city of Gibeon, and he enlisted the help of the other kings, these other four kings, the king of Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon. So again, they were banding together to go and fight and try to destroy the Gibeonites. It says when the Gibeonites heard this, they learned this about the five kings that were coming to attack them, they immediately sent for Joshua, right, for help, right? And it says that Joshua and his army marched all night from Gilgal all the way down to Gibeon and attacked these five Amorites. So God threw these armies of the five Amorite kings into a panic, right? It says that he sent down large hailstones from heaven and wiped out most of these wicked people, these five kings and their armies. And then Joshua, this is really interesting right here, right? It says that Joshua requested that God made the sun and the moon stand still, okay? So the Israelites would have daylight to pursue those armies, those five kings and their armies. So here's Joshua saying, Lord, you know, it's getting dark. And any way you can just put things on hold for a minute so we can see these guys and we can go after them, wipe them out, right? And it says that the Lord said, okay, sounds like a plan, Joshua. I'll stop things right now, right? And the sun, and it says that it's for the whole day. He did this for a whole day. He left the sun right where it was, the moon, everything. He said, yeah, okay, here we go. Go for it, Joshua. And it says in the scriptures we just read that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, Joshua. And it said it had never been done before. Yeah. Right? And then if you notice, you maybe read through this chapter this week, you'll notice this book of Jasher. Right? Have you seen that in the scripture? We just read it here. It was in verse 13, the book of Jasher, which means the book of upright or the book of a just man. Okay, there's not a lot of information about this book in the Bible. It is mentioned one other time by name. It's mentioned in 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 18. Okay, and it's also... it could be the same book that we read back in Numbers chapter 21, verse 14. It was called The Wars of the Lord. This could be the same book. We don't know. It's not definite, but it's a good chance that it is the same book. Yeah, that was in Numbers chapter 21, verse 14. It says it brings up Wars of the Lord. You can read about it. But this is... it's the only time it's really brought up is in our passage here this afternoon, Samuel, 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 18. This book here, the book of Jasher. One thing we do know, that if God wanted it in the Bible, he would have put it in the Bible, right? I've had people come up to me and say, well, what about these books, this book, and this book? How come they're not in the Bible? How can you believe the Bible? No, it's not that you can't believe, you don't have to believe the Bible. It's not that the Bible's not true. God just happened to not put those books in. There's probably many books that maybe the prophets, other prophets wrote about, or they had diaries or whatever that never made it in, God didn't want it to be in there. If he wanted us to know about this book more, we would have more information. That's how I look at it. So let's go on. We'll continue here in verse 16. The Amorite king's executed. I'm going to read down to verse 27. It says, "But these five Amorite kings had fled and hidden themselves in a cave at Makkada. And it was told, Joshua saying, the five kings have been found hidden in the cave of Makkada. So Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. And do not stay there yourselves, but pursue your enemies." Okay, so he's telling them, block these guys in and keep on fighting. "And attack their rear guard. Do not allow them to enter their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand." Verse 20. "Then it happened while Joshua and the children of Israel made an end of the slaying them with a great slaughter till they had finished, that those who escaped entered fortified cities." Verse 21. "And all the people returned to the camp, to Joshua at Makkada, in peace. No one moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five Amorite kings to me from the cave." Verse 23, "And they did so and brought out the five kings to him from the cave, and the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon." So all those, when they brought out those five kings to Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with them, "Come near, put your feet on the necks," that's a sign of victory, okay, "of these five kings." And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. Then Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed," which means intimidated. Do not be intimidated. "Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight." Verse 26, "And afterward Joshua struck them and killed them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging on the trees until evening. So it was at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down from the trees, cast them into the cave where they had been hidden, and laid large stones against the cave's mouth, which remain until this day." Let's stop there for a minute. So whenever you see that, "which remains until this day," that's of this writing. Yeah. So these five Amorite kings, right, they teamed up and they hid themselves, and they hid in this cave that we're reading about, Makkada. Right? It says that the Israelites found them. They rolled a stone in front of the cave while they finished pursuing the army of these kings, right? So these kings hid, they blocked them and continued to battle, and then when they're done, Joshua called them back, right? It says after they had wiped out the enemy's army, the army of Israel returned to the Joshua at this cave, right? So these five kings were brought out, killed, and hung on a tree until the evening, right? Similar to the king of Ai. Remember we read that in our last chapter. They captured him. They wiped all the people out in Ai, these wicked, pagan, evil people. They wiped them all out, but Joshua took the king of Ai, and he brought him out, and he hung him on a tree. Right? And it says, as the sun went down, their bodies were thrown into the cave, and the entrance was sealed. And we read that still to that day, of that day of this writing. So, yeah, so they're not messing around. And guess what? God's with them, right? You got five kings, put together five armies to go against the Gibeonites, who said in there they were mighty men, these Gibeonites, okay, with Israel, and Israel is conquering them, right? They're obeying God. God's saying, go, have good courage. I'm with you. Don't be intimidated by the enemies. I'm with you. And they're going for it. They're believing in the Lord. So we'll go on. We'll go on here in chapter 28. I mean, verse 28. I'm just prophesying. Thinking of chapter 28. That, of course, this only has 24 chapters. No rush. So verse 28, we'll follow this through here. We're going to follow this through here prior to the end. This is conquest of the Southland, okay? Conquest of the Southland. It says, verse 28, on that day, Joshua took Makkada and struck it and its king with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them, all the people who were in it, all the people that were in this town. He let none remain, wiped them all out. He also did to the king of Makkada as he had done to the king of Jericho. Verse 29. Then Joshua passed from Makkada and all Israel with him to Libna, and they fought against Libna. So the battles are continuing right through here. Verse 30. And the Lord also delivered it and its kings into the hand of Israel. He struck it and all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword. He let none remain in it, but did to its kings as he had done to the king of Jericho. Verse 31. Then Joshua passed from Libna and all Israel with him to Lachish, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, who took it on the second day and struck it, and all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, according to all that he had done in Libna. Verse 33. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua struck him and his people until he left him none remaining. So these guys are taking no prisoners here, right? They're just wiping these people right out. It says in verse 34, from Lachish, Joshua passed to Eglon and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. You got some serious battles going on. Verse 35, they took it on that day and struck it with the edge of the sword. All the people who were in it, he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done in Lachish. He's going from town to town here. Verse 36. So Joshua went up from Eglon and all Israel with him to Hebron, and they fought against it. And they took it and struck it with the edge of the sword, its kings, all its cities, and all the people who were in it. He left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but utterly destroyed it and all the people who were in it. Now, verse 38, then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to Debir, and they fought against it. And he took it and its kings and all of its city. They struck them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed all the people who were in it. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron. So he did to Debir and its king, as he had done also to Libna and its king. So they're wiping these guys right out. Verse 40. It says, so Joshua conquered all the land and the wilderness slopes and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord of Israel had commanded. Verse 41. And Joshua conquered them from Kadesh Barnea as far as Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even as far as Gibeon. So it's a good sized area. Verse 42, all these kings and their land Joshua took at one time. Here you go, right here. Because the Lord because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to the camp in Gilgal. So let's stop there. Let's stop there and talk about this. Right? So as we can see, these guys are they're just gone, right? The Lord's with them. He's like, these guys, as I like to say, are on the hit list, okay? These people are wicked nations, and God has marked them out. God has given them plenty of time to repent and ask for forgiveness and not live the way they were living, but they were wicked, evil. He's having Israel go and take care of business. Wipe these people out. This land I promised to your forefathers. Here's the territories and cities that were conquered by Israel's army. I'm just going to read them off to you. And this is just the beginning, okay, of the battles. So Israel, they took over these cities, these territories, as we just read, Mecca, Libna, Lachish, Gezer, Eglon, Hebron. You know Hebron, that's Caleb. He fought for that land, and that's what he wanted. He asked Moses, he said, I like that Hebron. I'd love to have that land. He said, that's fine. You go fight for it, son. You can have it. He did. He went up there and took care of business, and he got given that land of Hebron. Debir, Goshen, Gibeon. Well, now we wiped them out. They were with him. Kadesh Barnea. Now, remember Kadesh Barnea? That's that area where they went before. When they were walking in the wilderness, they went out to there and they were scoping it out. And the spies, they sent the spies out in that area and said, hey, go check the land out. And those 12 spies went out. 10 came back, were cowards. They didn't trust in the Lord. But Caleb and Joshua did. They said, oh, yeah, who's bigger than our God? We can wipe these guys out. And this is where they were at. Because of their unbelief, this is where God said, turn these folks around. Send them back out into the wilderness. They wandered for 40 days. This is Kadesh Barnea. This is where they were at. And Gaza. You know, Gaza, all that stuff that's going on, we see in the news, all that area. They took that over. It says the hill country, the Negev, the lowlands. So, right, we just read about that, the southlands, right, and the slopes. So they were going city after city after city. God was telling them, I am with you. Be strong. Have good courage. Do not be dismayed, which means intimidated. Keep on going. I'm with you. We're gonna rid these evil people out of this land. Okay? All these territories and cities were devoted to destruction, right, by Joshua and the Israelites. Again, like I said, these folks were on the hit list. These were wicked people. Yeah. Now, if you think about this, and they got a lot more land to conquer, but if you think about this, this is quite a bit of territory, okay? And it says, as we read, they did this in a day, conquering in a day this land. So how in the world did these guys ever do this? Verse 42, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. That's how they did it. They could have never done it. They were never the biggest army, but they had God on their side, right? Same thing we read, right? God, I've said this before, God loves the underdogs, the ones who have a heart for him, right? Think of David and Goliath, right? Here comes little David, right? This little guy. He was the youngest brother out of all of them. They're like, oh, David, go home. Go do the sheep, his brothers were telling him, and they're telling him in the army. Go home and go see how dad's doing. Go see how he's doing. See if he needs any cheese or anything. Go check the sheep out. Come on, David. Dave said, No. I'll fight this guy. 11 feet tall. Right? And he did, and he knew that God was going to give him victory, right? He knew God was going to give him victory. He's like, hey, he was so small, they gave him armor to put on. You guys can read it in the scripture, and he's like, wow, this thing is massive. I'm not going to fight with this thing, right? Right, exactly, kind of like a sumo wrestler. He's got this sword this long, heavier than him. He says, nah, forget this stuff. I got my slingshot. I'll take this guy out with this, because I know the Lord, as soon as I wind this back and shoot at him, God's going to guide it right to his forehead. He's going to be toast. He said, trust in the Lord. And he went on to be a mighty warrior. But like we talked about before, David never made a move without checking with God. Never, ever, in any of the battles. The one time he didn't check with the Lord was his downfall. That's when he saw Bathsheba on the building, and her husband was out at war, and the lust of his eyes got the best of him. That's the only downfall in the scripture that he had, which wrecked his whole family. He had family problems from then on. But God said that King David was a man after his own heart. Besides that incident, obviously, because God made him pay for it. He punished him, took the kid away, took him to heaven. I've had people say to me before, well, if God is so loving and so merciful, how would he just kill their baby? David's baby, you know, that's where they go. I said, he didn't kill the baby. He took the baby home. He took the baby from him. They didn't kill the baby, just like any unborn baby, right? Any miscarriages or whatever may be the case, God takes them home. Infants, everything, right? All the children, they die early, or they have something, a disease, and they die early. God takes them home. And I'll tell you what, right now, when they go home to be with the Lord, they're in their prime. They don't have any of these issues they have down here. They're restored to prime. Never breathed better. Never saw better. Never heard better. Remember the Apostle Paul? He was taken up. He goes, I don't know if I was in the body, out of the body. God knows. I was taken up to the third heaven. I saw things that I can't even explain. He's brought up to heaven. I think it's in the book of Corinthians. You can look that up. I don't know off the top of my head. But Paul says, I don't know if I was in the body, out of the body. I don't know. Only God knows. But all I know is I was taken up into the third heaven. And the things that I saw and heard, I can't even explain. I was so blown away. Right? That's where David's baby went. Right to be home with the Lord. He didn't kill the baby. He punished David for it. And Bathsheba, because they committed adultery. He also sent her husband into war to be killed. That was his only downfall, though, which he repented of. If you want to read a true repentance, read his repentance in Psalm 51. David poured out his heart and knew he did wrong. And he cried out to the Lord for forgiveness. Psalm 51. If you want to know what true repentance looks like, read that chapter. And God forgave him. So anyway, back here, we'll close up here in a second. So Joshua and Israel, they were being obedient, and God was giving them victory, just like he had been. So why don't we go ahead, we'll close in prayer. This ends chapter 10, we'll close in prayer, then we'll have a discussion, okay? Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for opening our hearts and our minds to this chapter, just knowing, Lord, just you speaking to us, knowing that if we're obedient to you, Lord, and we are trusting in you, Lord, that we can have victory, just like Israel's having victory throughout these battles, Lord. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.